This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour 4, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for football's finest. Here's the Chief.
Thank you very much, 877-881-1053. This time tomorrow, we will be pre-gaming for What You Drinking, What You Thinking, live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless, right there off 121, soaking the madness with the G-Bag Nation. All five of us out and about, looking to fellowship and watch some ball, eat some great burgers, drink some great drink. Tomorrow's going to be awesome. Today's been awesome. I really enjoy watching teams like Clemson lose and McNeese State. And I want to see how far Will Wade can go, man. How far can he go while he's not even the coach of McNeese State anymore?
Oh, Willie.
It's like you're NC State's coach, or maybe you're going to be Texas's coach. I don't know.
What if his whole team at McNeese jumps into the portal?
Hey, the likelihood of that is probably pretty high.
Pretty high.
Well, after the tournament.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's
they just do it now. They forfeit the second round game.
Probably got a guy or two he wants to bring with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Who is something that happened here in, did it happen in college football? Who was it that couldn't play it in the they couldn't play in the bowl game because they're it was Marshall. Marshall lost their coach. Marshall lost their coach like Southern Miss, and then Marshall was trying to get in a bowl game and they had no players left.
Screw them. Who cares?
Ain't that tough.
Man, tomorrow's going to be such a blast. The closer we get to it, and you're going to hate me for this, Brian, but I think we need to reschedule this dinner.
The dinner?
We're not rescheduling the dinner, dude. We're getting...
Where is the dinner?
We're going to do this publicly? Is that
Pecan Lodge?
Yeah, exactly.
Pecan Lodge. Do this
publicly. Why not? Bring it on air, huh? I mean, you know, we're just shooting the poo with each other.
Pecan Lodge.
That sounds fantastic, too,
no,
bro.
No, that's going to be delicious.
It's just that drive to get over there.
That right. Drive is...
That's what's scary.
We need a helicopter.
Last time, it was just... it was beyond lit at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers.
That was your fault.
But last time...
It wasn't my fault. We have some legendary Tolos that want to buy us beverages, and who am I to say I'm not going to consume?
We didn't have a dinner date, though. You know what I mean?
You could just easily said, oh, man, I've got a thing I got to go to. Thank you.
Yeah, but the
my
desire
wife gave me
to
just
do
say
that,
no speech.
Yeah, no, my wife would love me to say no, but you know it's difficult sometimes, you know? It's difficult.
The thing that happened here was that we were nice, and Jared, we're part of it, you know, the charity, and we said, okay, we'll do this.
We're doing
on this day, and then all of a sudden, hey, we hit a home run a couple weeks ago, and the people want us back, so we got to kind of schedule around what we're doing.
Saturday night worked better for you guys?
Just saying. Or am I saying?
Just saying. I'm just saying. Steve Smith is...
I think they're expecting us at Pecan Lodge tomorrow night.
Yeah,
of course they are.
I know that they are.
It's on the sked, dude.
I need to push back.
I guess Wolchuk's on the injury report, man.
My question.
Wolchuk sounds like he might be doubtful.
Just go ahead and announce that you're not going
to
be there.
Due to inebriation.
Due to inebriation?
Out. Hammered.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is we'll really effectively only be eating as one or maybe two, you know?
That is true.
After eating all day.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to get buck wild with the food. I'm open-minded to whatever you guys
decide. What's that thing called at Pecan Lodge? We order the trough?
That thing is simply outstanding. I mean, the place
is... Are you worried about just loading up at both places?
I'm just worried about not really being able to make it.
Worried about the load up.
Hey, man, hold up. Is Wolchuk saying you have a daughter?
I got a daughter.
I think he will. I think he's going to play this card tomorrow. Get ready.
I'm proud of you.
I know the lady we're going with. I can make it up to her.
There's going to be some Tolos that are going to be jumping up and down, itching drive you.
No. That's true.
You know what I mean?
Maybe I could just get a ride.
There's going to be a Tolo that wants to get a ride.
Where are you riding from?
From Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers.
Shoot, bro. I got a man.
To old
and then I got
to
go.
I can get you guys there. That's on my way home. I mean, that part's easy, right?
Yeah, but then
do you need to go after that?
Get my car back.
Then you'll have to get back to Euless. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing I do know.
We got an 8 a.m. game Saturday.
This is damn good radio fleshing this out. That's one thing I do know.
I'm enjoying it, man. I think on the fly radio, sometimes it's the best.
Well, is this about to rub you the wrong way, Steve Smith?
Probably.
He does not think that Tet McMillan is wide receiver one in the draft. His complaint is that he doesn't believe that...
Steve Smith Sr.?
Yeah, this is Steve Smith Sr.
I mean, can we take anything he says seriously anymore after what just happened?
I don't think that eliminates his football analysis and prowess.
Does it not?
Some people are more perked up to hear him now, I would imagine.
It's true.
Yeah. He's a high performer.
You know? He is a high performer.
He's got to get back in that game.
This guy knows
he's a winner.
He's definitely.
I'm pretty sure he's got to stay busy right now.
Yeah, exactly.
The old lady is asking all types of questions.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to come on a podcast? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Well, I was thinking where you were on the 14th.
Yeah.
I just can't figure it out. Can you help me out?
He's got to have evidence that he was on a podcast now for every hour of his day. Just show me in the football game where Tet McMillan's not amazing. You know?
Yeah. He says he's not a number one wideout. He's just a jump ball guy, and he doesn't respect his route tree. So that's the reasoning, just so you guys know what the reasoning is.
Now, maybe you guys say, hey, the tree's incredible. I've seen the tree. I've picked off the tree. I've climbed the tree. I know about the damn tree. But otherwise, that's what he's saying.
That's the best damn Christmas tree I've ever seen.
There you go.
And he's going with Ohio State? Who's he going with?
I don't see who he went with as his number one.
So he craps on Tet and he doesn't give us another option?
I'm sure he's got one, but the clip that I'm referencing.
Can you figure it out?
It's just the Tet clip.
I'll look and see if maybe he gave us another name here. Look, there are certain people that I'm sure might prefer other receivers. That's the beauty of the draft, right? We don't know, and it's all projections, and we're just seeing what our eyes tell us, and everybody's going to have a different point of view and perspective. It's hard to argue with a Steve Smith, who absolutely is a future Hall of Fame receiver in my book, but not every NFL player is a great evaluator. I do have Ted as my number one guy, but I could be wrong on that.
I'd be interested to see if he, because of how he physically himself plays, because Steve was a short guy, does he have something against taller receivers that he's heard all year?
Like he loves Jalen Royals from Utah State.
Oh, just,
He's comparable to him.
Yeah, he's shorter
he's
players.
He's got short guy bias.
Yeah, there's shorter players that he might really love the Colorado kids. That are like 5'9", 5'10".
You can't win in this league at 6'5", 220.
That might be that. No, seriously.
Absolutely right.
That might be it. He really is. He was a third-round pick because he was 5'9". You know, there might be some bias towards taller receivers. He just doesn't fit his eye.
I could see it.
I'm trying to be nice about it here.
Yeah, I know you are. But that's his thought, so I just wanted to let you guys in on that particular thing.
He's an idiot.
I do have some draft numbers and advanced metrics that I find interesting that we'll get to at some point. But I did want to mention Old that.
Didn't keep you interrupting.
Oh, no. Please. That's rich coming from you.
Hey, that's a pot kettle situation.
What?
Apparently, on the heels of Scottie Scheffler's Masters menu, Robert Mays, who's one of the best football minds for The Athletic, he says that one of the more fun wrinkles his longtime fantasy league has added in recent years, a champion's dinner the night before their next season's draft. And so there's still one guy in the league after 14 years that has not won the championship, so he doesn't get to participate in the champions dinner.
Oh, wow.
But I thought that was a pretty cool idea. Like, you get to piece together your own championship. Like, the whoever is the winner from that previous year dictates the menu. All the people that have won a championship before in the league get to attend the meal. But the one guy in the league who has still not won a championship over the last 14 years in this league, he doesn't get to attend. I think that's just a pretty fun kind of deal
that
right
is
there
pretty that is pretty good
with the boys. Hey, this we got the numbers on Jack Sanborn, by the way.
Very inexpensive.
Yeah, very cheap.
Todd
very
Archer, 1 year, $1.5 million. This is the linebacker from Chicago, knows Eberflus defense, and is probably going to be perhaps the most impactful addition of the offseason for the Cowboys, at least from a free agency standpoint. $1.2 million is what he gets for as a salary, up to $1.5 million. That is a phenomenal deal for the Cowboys, and probably the only reason why they were actually willing to sign him. A penny more would have been like maybe a little too rich. Now, we also have the story about Aaron Rodgers from Front Office Sports. Like, hey, like, would there be any interest from TV networks in Aaron Rodgers if he does hang it up, or when he hangs it up? Is there going to be interest there? And they have some quotes, and their main concern under condition of anonymity is that Rodgers comes off as a pompous know-it-all who would turn off viewers.
His brother's really good, by the way.
Yeah, and I don't think you could censor him in any way. He would bring up controversial things in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
You know, it could get weird in a lot of ways.
He'd be pointing out guys on the field that he's done ayahuasca tripping balls with. Somebody said, yes, he could be a great analyst, but he's insufferable.
And only if Vice gets the games, then he'd be out on Vice. Yeah. He'd be on fire on Vice, bro.
That's true, bro. He would fit right in. Okay, here's some sound from DeVonta Smith, wide receiver of the Eagles.
I think Madden cast, he would be really good. The Manning cast.
We moved on. Eric, back to you.
Manning cast. Or like the McAfee cast.
Still trying to figure out how to get out of that bar tomorrow, don't you?
I found the Smitty Big Board whenever you're ready for it.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah.
I'll hold on to that. No. We'll play your audio.
Here's DeVonta Smith, Eagles wide receiver, on Carmelo Anthony's 7 p.m. in Brooklyn podcast, talking about a fun fact. He's just really marveling at Saquon Barkley, but right out of the gates here, he gives you a nugget on Saquon Barkley that I don't believe anyone within ear's reach knew about him. Take it away.
With Saquon, he'd be over to growling. So when he growling.
He growls?
Like, yeah, like he in that mode. When he go to growling, whole different animal, man. And when he went to growling, he ran the dude over. It was just like, okay. He was just out there talking like, keep giving it to me. Keep giving the ball. Keep giving the ball. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be one of them ones. So then when he was like, he didn't want to get the record. I'm like, you did all that huffing and puffing to get here. Now you don't want to get the record.
It was classy. You know what I mean?
Very classic.
To me, Saquon the best it is, man.
Yeah.
The stuff I didn't see him do during like training camp, you know, I was watching him and I was like, okay, he cold. Like, he got it.
Yeah.
But then when you watch him in the game, this motherfucker is different, man. I ain't never seen nothing like this. As a receiver blocking, like once I put hands on, I'm looking back to see where he at, trying to make sure, you know, he got the lane and stuff. And like sometimes I just see him like the way he jump cut. And then when he hit the hole, it's like he hit a whole different gear and you're not catching him. I ain't never seen nothing like it.
Yeah.
Like the ability to just be able to jump cut in tight spaces. And then when you want to get full speed, you're there now. It's no build up. It's like right now you're at full speed.
I would agree. You know, he's the best I think we've seen in a while in the NFL. You put him right up there with the greats. As much as I loved Zeke and, you know, thought he was amazing, I think what Saquon did at his peak is significantly more impressive.
When he's done it later on into his career, right? Yeah. Like Zeke really had a good first few seasons and then just wasn't able to propel that longevity. Barkley seeming like he's going to have the longevity here, much like Derrick Henry.
How much do we attribute it to the growling? I mean, these guys, I'm not used to the top tier obvious studs. And from my growing up playing peewee through high school football, I played plenty of growlers. Never was it the guy that doesn't really need to growl because he's just so phenomenal already. But some guys are like, they're not fast. They're not super athletic. They need that extra something to keep them going. And the growlers were always a nightmare to try to bring down.
Oh yeah.
From a tackling standpoint, it's like, this dude is angry.
Ultimate try hard
all the time. Yes. But yeah, Saquon absolutely. In this unbelievable athletic physique and skill and burst and explosion and all these things. And he's still the hungry dog, try hard growler. That kind of puts you over the top.
You know what? I think we need to do some studies here, Brian. Who are the running back growlers in this class?
I think it's
if you're
important.
Not a growler, I might have to knock you.
Yeah.
Like, Genty, like, do you growl? If you don't, maybe you're not the best back in the draft.
That needs to be a question to be asked to these guys.
The most obvious growler in this class is obviously on three, ladies and gentlemen. One, two, three. Scataboo. Like, Scataboo's a growler.
Gotta be.
He's
gotta
tried
be
and true. But that's the obvious low-hanging fruit growler. Tell me that Ashton Genty's a growler.
He might be.
And all of a sudden, you tell me that Omarion Hampton's a growler. Might be looking at him at 12.
He could be.
But I just think that's pretty incredible because, again, like you go up against stud running backs, they're not the growling type.
Usually not.
Saquon, he's a different animal.
It's funny how you describe the growler because when it first I heard the audio, I thought it was kind of corny. You know, I thought it was kind of dorky.
Yeah.
Because
and there's something dorky about it.
Yeah.
There's also something intimidating about it.
Very intimidating.
Saquon's pretty dorky.
Growlers are not getting tackled by the first guy.
Is he dorky?
You got to gang tackle the growler.
Oh, you have to. Yeah.
Or you have to sort of become a growler yourself.
Yep.
And see what that can you level up mid game? I don't know.
When you're starting to talk about running backs and traits, where does growling come under? I was trying to kind of figure that out.
I think that's play temperament.
Competes.
Explosiveness. Okay.
If you're talking about a five tool running back, I think the pinky, if you're going all five fingers, five tool running back, is he a growler?
We might have to go six tool.
Vision and field awareness.
No.
Explosiveness and acceleration.
Maybe.
Agility and elusiveness.
I think you find your growler through metrics with the guys who
contact
after
balance.
Yeah, after power contact
balance, also play style.
Missed tackles forced.
Speed, breakaway ability?
No.
That has nothing to do with the growler.
Decision making?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
He might be growling, waiting on
receiving
the hold.
Receiving skills, no. Durability and stamina?
Yes, absolutely. Stamina, it affects 100%. Your stamina.
Yep, you're a growler, your stamina
you're
built.
You're a four-quarter guy.
100%.
Pass blocking, pass protection and blocking?
You better growl.
Mental toughness and leadership.
I think if you're a growler,
there's elements to that.
You're a tough guy. Hmm. All right, Smitty's big board. Golden is his number one receiver.
Okay.
And everything he said about Tet McMillan, he's got him as his number two receiver. I figured he was going to be way down the list after that.
Me too.
So he's got Ted at two, Igbuka at three, Luther Burden at four, Jalen Royals out of Utah State, who I do think
I love Jaden
is comparable Royals. To Steve Smith, like the way he plays.
6 foot guy.
At number five.
Yeah.
Trey Harris at six, Bash from TCU, Jaden Higgins, Iowa State, Isaiah Bond, he's gotten his top 10 from Texas, and then Elik Iomanor from Stanford.
817
Red Raider, Taj Brooks is a growler, reportedly from the 817. That's a guy that Walchuk seems to be interested in.
Let me ask the head coach.
I love Taj Brooks.
I'm going to ask the head coach if that's true.
Joey?
Yeah.
You got Joey like that?
He has big flex.
On speed down.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Joey likes, of course he does.
He football loves, Joey loves me.
He absolutely
loves me.
I soaked in it. I got
I don't
to
know
meet
why,
him.
But he does.
Well, you did a lot of the high school games,
I did,
right?
I did high school games. He couldn't have been nicer to me for high school football.
Okay, so what's the text going to read? Hey, coach, Taj Brooks, ... growler,
okay,
question mark?
Let's go with that. Hey, coach. Okay, I'll craft it and keep going here. We'll go
it'll lead the expressway. When we return, takeaways from the Luca book and why it could be worse with Nico than we could have possibly imagined. We'll go commercial free to the top. L.A. Live will step in there coming up at 5:40, and we're back in the nation. Here we go, nation. Welcome back. It's time to hit the expressway. We're going commercial free to the top, but not before we find out if Coach answered Brian's question about Taj Brooks being a growler.
Yeah, no, I sent him a text message. I'm just going to wait. Hopefully by the end of the day we get this, but I said, hey, coach, rumor has it that Taj Brooks is a growler when he runs the ball. Saquon Barkley is a growler. We're talking about on the radio. Thanks, Broadus.
There you go.
So we'll see if he answers you back.
I like that you threw in the Saquon deal just to reiterate the fact that this is not an indictment on the player. This is actually a positive.
Yeah. No offense. Yeah. We're wondering if he has this great trading.
Joey might want to come on.
And this is Joey McGuire, right? Texas
right.
Tech. Yeah.
Joey Mack.
I wouldn't be surprised. We'd love to have him on. Okay. Some Mavs content here in just a few minutes. Segment is brought to you by the on-time experts. And it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your vehicle today at carsforkids.org. LA Live's coming up now in just 15 minutes. Adelson family requesting to remove the casino component from the Irving Destination Resort proposal. an interesting thing to track. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Maybe they want to. Does that mean that they're giving up on the casino idea, the casino component, or they just want to take care of this while they can without having to complicate it with some, you know, politics having to get involved?
That would be my guess. I'd be blown away if they're willing to throw in the towel on the casino stuff. They might know that it's further away than they were hoping, but I don't think they're giving up on that.
It sounds like to me that this facility is going to be an arena and then also arena for stuff for concerts and things like that. So they had the casino, an arena, and then the basketball arena. So it's it's like what we have in Vegas, you know, when we have Caesars has that.
So you have concert venue, sporting venue
and
casino.
And the casino.
And we'll add the casino later.
Yeah.
But we need to get working on this building. I could definitely see that. A former NFL and University of Michigan assistant football coach allegedly hacked into the computer accounts of thousands of college athletes seeking intimate photos and videos, according to an indictment filed today. This is Matt Weiss, worked with the Ravens before joining Michigan in 21, charged with 14 counts of unauthorized computer access, 10 counts of identity theft. Get this.
I think, was he doing it at the library, or where was he doing this? I've heard about this story.
I'm not sure if he was doing it on library.
But it was, or at I think home. It was school property is what he was doing this on.
14-page document portrays him as a computer whiz, saying he cracked the encryption protecting the passwords assisted by research that he did on the internet.
Yeah.
He then got access to the social media, email, and cloud storage accounts of more than 2,000 athletes, as well as more than 1,300 students or alumni from schools across the country, according to the indictment. So he hacked into the cloud, basically, and got these people's selfies, is what his deal was. That was his kink, if you will.
Yeah, but I mean, how many other...
Tip of the iceberg.
The invasion of privacy is through the roof there. I mean, goodness gracious. How many college kids now are of the age to where... I mean, some of these guys are like 24, 25, 26. They got wife and kids. Who knows? Random, you know, baby pictures. Who knows what kind of crap you got there that you're sifting through? That's incredibly awful.
Yeah, so he could be facing some significant time. And I think it's an important time to be very strict on that. Hold these people accountable. Set an example.
Damn right. Set the tone.
Can't be going through people's stuff like
that.
Merritt, thank you, Wolchuk. I appreciate your sports
passion.
Learn some
damn respect. This kid needs to be in jail.
This is an assistant football coach.
Yeah.
This
unbelievable. Is, yeah. It's an assistant football coach. Are you guys not paying attention?
You trust your kids with something like that.
And that's, Carter, what are you doing in here? Quite a skill.
I think he's coming back for that last cookie. Aren't you? He's coming back for that final TIFF treat. It's been sitting there waiting for it. It's got your name on it.
I like that shirt, Carter. You look good today.
American billionaire Dan Friedkin has emerged as a strong ownership option to bring the NHL to Houston.
Woo! Well, hey, the Houston Aeros used to be big time minor league hockey there, so that makes sense. They'd probably be a good destination for a franchise.
NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly confirmed in an email the league has met with the group on a number of occasions. Do you mind a little in-state rivalry for the Stars? I actually kind of like it.
No, I think it'd be good.
Let's dance. Yeah. Friedkin, the CEO of the Houston-based Friedkin Group, has begun his foray into professional sports ownership over the last several years. He bought the Italian Serie A club, AS Roma, a few years back, and he was actually amongst the folks that were looking into possibly buying the Celtics that went for $6.1 billion.
They're saying that maybe that was an inflated price.
Really?
That the Celtics don't own their arena.
Yeah, they don't have the arena involved in this deal. The Bruins own it.
This is just straight up. Yeah,
you think the guy that bought it got jobbed?
Saying that.
He got swindled a little bit?
Yeah,
sounds like a con job.
It just shows.
Oh, Joey's answering back. Oh, Joey,
gonna have to have the city build you a new arena for that one. With
this is also super petty because I think it came in at $500,000 more than the Commander's sale. So they specifically were like, "Yeah, we need to go up to $6.1 billion." So it's the highest price sale ever.
That's impressive. You know, I guess you have all those championships. It's one of the top two teams in the history of basketball. But to get more than an NFL team like the Commanders,
and it's $2.1 billion more than what the Suns sold for just a few years ago.
Yeah. Sounds like Mark Cuban got ripped off.
And also, it doesn't include the arena.
Yeah.
So that's
wild.
That is wild.
I'd want to back out of that right about now. Brian, what's the answer? DJ?
Yeah, he's still answering me. He gave me the explanation, the yeah, excited. Growler, kind of thing. Growler. And then he said,
he gave you the whole, my guys are growlers.
He says he's a bad, bad, bad man. And I said, well, coach, is this true? So he's answering back here.
Yeah. Some little bubbles dancing up.
He's got some bubbles.
Then they disappeared, and they come back.
Oh,
here
the bubbles are back, Lucius.
There you go.
Yeah.
So. I mean, we're scouting them up right here. We're trying to get you the inside story.
Yeah.
On Brooks, the Texas running back, Texas Tech running back.
Yeah.
Okay, how this works here is, you know, it could actually be worse than we imagine with Nico. Let me just throw this out there, okay? Could it be possible the acquisitions of Gafford, PJ Lively could go under the influence more of Dennis Lindsay, who was here for like 18 months, former assistant GM who Cuban bought in to help?
Except for Utah, right?
Yeah, he brought him in from Utah. I think he's with Detroit now. Soon as he leaves the Mavs, Derek Jones Jr. is gone. Luke is gone shortly thereafter. Grimes, you know, I don't know. I'd have to check the chronology, but somebody texted that earlier, and then I was looking at it, and I was thinking, my goodness, what you could possibly be looking at is, we thought, hey, Nico, great GM, building a hell of a team. Are you kidding me? Look at all these wings. Look at all these pigs. I mean, Nico's killing it, but maybe he's got a Luka blind spot. So the idea would be maybe that now that you remove Luka from the equation, you're just getting all of Nico's greatness. And this, but is it possible that there actually isn't any greatness on his ledger, and now we're just going to let this play out as the worst run organization in pro sports, which maybe is what the Luka trade informed us about. I hope that's not what we're looking at right here. I hope he is Nico Harrison, former Nike executive, mentor to some of the biggest stars in the history of the game. That's what he is, and he just had an oopsie here with the Luka Doncic situation. You know, maybe it got a little bit personal. I'm reading Tim McMahon's book, guys, Wonder Boy. I'm sure you've seen this.
Yeah. We got invited to his, if you want to go, we got invited to his book.
Debut?
Book signing?
Launch. Book signing, yeah, book launch. Yeah,
those are always fun.
Yeah.
Great book.
Next,
you know,
weekend.
I'm just reading excerpts here, and a buddy of mine forwarded me the final chapter in email. And here's what I've been skimming it throughout today's show, so sorry if I've been distracted here and there, but this is kind of like a timeline on the Mavs decision. You're in the finals, and it went bad, and they were really strongly hoping that he would use that as fuel. They felt like his knee was due to him being out of shape, and you clearly had this, hey, man, if you'd been in better shape, the knee wouldn't have bothered you. We could have won the championship. Comes back in decent shape. Started training camp. They're like, okay, cool. You know, maybe we're making some progress. But then the calf strain early in camp. And, you know, that was a little bit frustrating because the calf had been strained already two previous times, including right before the playoff run where they ultimately made the conference finals in 2022. But in that preseason, he's missing games, he's missing practice. He put on a ton of weight. Apparently, his dad was in town, Sasha Doncic,
yeah,
and that is where he went from like the 230s to the 260s. Everybody's getting in shape, and like he's living life to the fullest.
Just ballooning.
So then he comes back, and you know, we remember there were moments in the games where it was like, wow, Luka looks super winded right now. Mm. And it was, you know, a significant point of contention there inside the organization. So he gets fat. He's missing the preseason. He comes back in awful shape. The team's frustrated. And at this point, anger is building. Like, this is way before Christmas, but anger is building. And then the calf happens again on Christmas, and his rehab starts. He totally cuts off comms with the organization. That's where the part about Kyrie Irving is the go-between between Luka and the front office comes into play for the first time. That wasn't something that had been happening for a sustained period of time. That happened after his calf injury that happened on Christmas. They felt like, according to the Tim McMahon book, they were being held hostage inside their own organization. Yes. And they felt like the way that he was playing his hand, he clearly didn't want to be here. Even though at the press conference he was like, no, I always assumed I would get the Supermax, he literally wouldn't talk to them.
And I'm sure they had been angry. I'm sure the anger now from their side has been felt on his side, and he probably just wanted to detach from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think over time they had removed everybody that he liked in the organization, you know, and
Casey Smith and those guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the big point of contention was he wanted to use his own trainers and totally manage the recovery from the injury and felt like, I don't need to talk to you. Yeah. You know, I think that is a quirk that maybe no other superstar would do. That is a pretty, you know, significant relationship dysfunction. Again, I would have found a way to work around it, but I thought it was interesting that Tim was able to spell it out in that detail there with the timeline.
Yeah, I'd wonder. I mean, I would think that a lot of these players do have their own medical team. And I can't really say, when you see the injuries that have piled up for the Mavericks and how they've handled some of these, that Luka was really in the wrong for doing that.
He's the thing that we've talked about it months ago was the fact that he, you know, he did not trust the trainers from the Mavericks. And that's the problem, is the trainers from the Mavericks in the front office were basically saying that, you know, he should have been ready like 2 or 3 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
But he wasn't adhering to what they were doing, and they had a conflict between his trainers and staff and what the Mavs trainers and staff was doing. That was a big issue.
It was. And there's one source in here, again, going through Tim McMahon's final chapter here in Wonder Boy, just some excerpts of it. There's a source that says, at the end of the day, we shipped him off because he became the very thing that we created. So there's quite a theme in here of how the Mavs created this under Mark Cuban. The number one priority was just keep Luka happy no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Mark sold the team, you went to the other extreme of maybe the only GM in professional sports that was going to be more insistent that you matched, you know, what their values and principles were. But the calf to start the year, then injured, struggling to get in shape, then calf again, then him totally shutting out the organization. I think that's where it differs from what other superstars would do. I think a lot of superstars would have their own trainer, but they would remain in good communication anyway. But then it leads into a part about Casey Smith. You mentioned the trainer, who was one of the guys that Luka did love, you know? And if you don't know Smith, he was the trainer for Team USA for a long time. Redeem Team won it all, and he built this relationship with Tyson Chandler and convinced the Mavs, hey, I can keep this guy Tyson Chandler healthy if you trade for him. So they did, and the rest is history. They win the championship in 2011. But the story leads in here talking about Casey Smith, and after they stripped him of any real role or responsibilities for the final season of his contract, Harrison's explanation, delivered via a Zoom call while Smith was visiting his gravely ill mother, was that Smith was too negative, which one Mavs staffer interpreted to mean not being a yes man. Smith, arguably the most respected athletic trainer in the NBA, had been a fixture with the Mavs for 2 decades, forming strong bonds with stars over the years, including Dirk, Jason Kidd, and Luka, who Smith visited in Slovenia each summer. Smith was hired by Jalen Brunson's Knicks as soon as his contract expired with the Mavs. So I think that's probably the main turning point. Like, if you had to say what thing happened here that made this situation unresolvable, it's Casey Smith not being in that trainer role to sort through all of that static that Luka had towards the front office while also getting him healthy and communicating with the front office. Those trainers can be very important people for the harmony of your team.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All righty. G-Bag Nation here, 105.3. The Fan. Stars are in action tonight, Brian. They host Tampa at 7 o'clock. This is a big game.
Big game tonight. Yeah, exactly. Coach McGuire got back. He says he definitely makes noises.
Okay.
He's as physical as hell.
See, I would think grunting as well could come into play here.
Yeah,
I think growling, grunting,
sort of synonymous. Yeah. The growl and the grunt.
Yeah. Now in basketball, you get a lot of guys that are making noises, almost like they're doing a kung fu sound effects around their game. Do you get that with the runners as well?
I think the physicality brings more of a bass in there. I don't think you're doing the hissing in football. Just, again, I think the physicality, if you're hissing on the football field, that's actually probably an indictment on you.
Okay.
Now we're dropping you on our big board, as opposed to the growler probably just went up around.
You growler or you a hisser?
You want growlers.
I definitely want growlers.
You want the hissy guy.
The Cowboys, I don't, how many growlers do you really think are on the Cowboys? Not enough. I think that's the answer.
I think Tyler Smith's a growler.
Tyler Smith probably a growler.
I think Overshown might growl from time to time.
Could be a growler.
I could see him doing the growl.
I mean, Mike definitely growls.
He roars.
Yeah.
We need to go back to some of these guys getting mic'd up. You know, the mic'd up, maybe some running backs. We can learn some more about this. But we get to Carl Anthony Towns, right? His deal is like, oh my God. What does he do?
Yeah, he's an oh my God guy.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah, what category is oh my God guy?
I think that goes under SAS.
That's a different sport. That's,
okay.
What's the Dwight Howard category?
Yeah. It is.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's time for LA Live. Let's go into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
Ladies Night Edition right after the great Rick James.
You swear, it's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Men are simple, women are complicated. We simple, we too simple, actually. You don't believe me? Let me tell you how to treat a woman, how to treat your wife. You'll stay married for 100 years. Wine her, dine her, call her, hold her, surprise her, compliment her, smile at her, listen to her, laugh with her, cry with her, romance her, encourage her, believe in her, pray with her, pray for her, cuddle with her, shop with her, give her jewelry, buy her flowers, hold her hand, write love letters to her, go to the ends of the earth and back again for her.
Yeah,
that's right.
Perfect.
That's right.
Thank you.
How to treat a man. Show up naked, bring chicken wings, don't block the TV.
Don't block the TV.
He damn right, boy. This is LA Live for Thursday, March 20th, 2025. It is a Thirsty Thursday here. Ladies Night Edition of LA Live. Ladies! Shout out to all the Tolos ladies listening to the fan right now. You are appreciated. Much love to you. Splash. Now, I have hissed on the football field before, but it's usually like when you're trying to shake somebody.
Yeah.
You know, that type of vibe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That type of thing.
I feel that.
The boxers do a lot of hissing, too, when they punch. Good God, man.
How about them?
It sounds like it hurts.
Yeah. Tennis players are grunters.
It's like moans. Yeah, maybe some grunting.
Putting so much into those serves.
What a oomph.
LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. And G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the fan here at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. And you can follow us all and find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. A winner right here is a high school softball home plate umpire. This is embarrassing. He took a softball to the Jewels. In front of everybody, bro.
Gosh, that sounds bad.
You're thrown up there.
I just called somebody.
Don't call anybody. Please don't call anybody.
Just called somebody.
Oh,
it's really bad.
Is there a doctor in the crowd? Please step forward. Is there a doctor in the crowd?
He's not a growler. He's kind of a, is he like a yelper? Mm.
That's crying.
That's crying,
yeah. Sound like your basset hound that got stung by a rattlesnake.
That's sad, bro.
You know, speaking of, you mentioned Greystone. I was pulling up the back way today because there's been a lot of traffic coming into downtown on 30 for some reason. You mentioned Greystone. Reminded me. I saw this place. It's two blocks away. It's called Stoner's Pizza Joint.
Yeah.
And inside the tomato, there's like this green leaf. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're going for it. Full embrace.
That's hilarious.
Times have changed.
That's sweet. 105.3. Oh, sorry about that, bro.
Looks like it's still under construction, or I brought in a pie.
105.3 The Fan. Oh, no. A little ladies' night vibes right here. Hey, is this the golden time of day? Talk to him, bro.
I believe so.
It's a time. That's the golden time of day.
Lots of Tolos have sent me this audio. I've been sitting on it for a second. I'll drop it before I get on out of here. I don't know if it's been doctored or not, but I do appreciate this lady for... I get her intentions. Lady stepped outside of her apartment to pass gas. I guess she had some company or something like that, and she wanted to rip cheeks right in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she stood outside of her apartment to pass gas, and the Ring camera of the neighbors caught her.
Caught her.
Wow.
Wow. Bro, what?
It's like Chewbacca.
Wow, that's okay. Some extra there.
She needs to go wide.
You got to send the company home.
That was
that's
wet. Like,
hey, that man. Is crazy.
Is that worse than Monty Kiffin's?
What do you even call that?
Monty blew it out.
That is the all-time cheek flapper of the year. She's been holding that thing for 2 days.
Bro, that sound like an 18-wheeler, dog.
She's got an air brake. She's pushing, too.
That's a hell of a rig.
That's like a forceful fart.
18-wheeler, bro.
On the neighbors, too.
Come on, dude. It's got to be doctored.
Yeah, like, what'd you do, walk over to the neighbor's door?
That's got to be doctored, man. Sorry about that, but I had to get that off. A lot of Tolos have sent me that. I've been sitting on it. Like, I don't know if I want to do it, but I did it. LA Live 105.3 The Fan, ladies tonight. This story right here leaves me with a lot of questions. Well, man, really just one. Montgomery County. That's in here in Texas. I don't know where, but where is Montgomery County? By Houston, right?
I think it's around Uncertain.
Yeah, Montgomery County woman arrested for showing off her little sex tape at a local bar.
Oh, she was just like waving it, trying to go full like Kim Kardashian?
She plug it into the TVs in there?
Take a look at this.
Just going to different bar stools showing everybody, check this out, check this out. She was arrested after allegedly showing a sex tape of her and her ex to people at a Northwest Harris County bar.
Mm. Okay, yeah.
The name is Taylor Richards. She's 18 years old.
Oh, no.
She's being charged with unlawful disclosure of intimate video material and a felony. That's a felony. It carries up to 2 years. Wow.
Showing somebody your home porn is a felony?
Cool. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Be careful out there. Yeah, this is the Woodlands area.
Her ex, Michael Bassett, I think, said he took the video of him and this lady in his truck on Valentine's Day.
He's definitely a hound doggy.
And, he thought that she would delete it after they broke up, but she didn't. She went around and showed everybody. My question is, hopefully you'll put it together. Listen to this little clip.
Michael Bassett regretting the videos he took of he and...
Who?
Michael Bassett regretting the videos he took of he and this woman having sex in his truck on Valentine's Day.
So she had me record it on her phone.
After she allegedly showed them to a bunch of his friends and customers of his diesel maintenance business. Bassett says he broke things off with 18-year-old Taylor Richards sometime after the Valentine's Day encounter. Some of his customers so disturbed by what they'd seen, they decided...
What could it be? So disturbed by what they seen on the sex tape that she was showing off in a bar. What could it be?
To part ways, he says.
I can handle my friends messing with me and whatnot. I can't handle when I start losing money.
Richard was arrested that night and charged with unlawful disclosure of intimate video material. Her mom tells us her daughter isn't commenting, but Bassett says she was speaking to him even after her arrest.
She called me from the jail and she was just like, are you going to drop the charges and this, that, and the other? I'm like, no, you have a lesson to learn.
What could it be on that damn video that's so embarrassing to him?
Made him
lose customers.
Yeah, these customers saw this video and said, I am not going to this gentleman's business ever again.
What is on that video? Why would you record it if that's that embarrassing?
Could it be a Trevor Bauer special?
I gotta figure it out. I don't know. What's a Trevor Bauer special?
What's this guy's profession, by the way? What is he?
Hold on, what he did? He did something. Hold on.
Window
tinting. Owns a business. Hold on.
Do we know what his
business is? Customers of his diesel maintenance business.
Diesel maintenance. They're a mechanic.
Okay, there's something going on
he
here.
I think
18-wheeler drivers was like, nah, man.
I think
you too much for me, bro.
That's right. Those 18-wheeler guys are into lot lizards.
I think he's over the back of the bed getting something happening to him.
Oh, you think it's happening to him?
To him, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Like that Sopranos episode. He's getting big dieseled.
Yeah. I think maybe she's dominating here.
God, dog, why'd you record that, bro?
That's what I'm saying. That's why his friends are like, okay, whatever. But like losing bid, like people are like, really, you're doing this? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
That was him. It comes full circle.
The whole time.
Yeah, it could possibly be that, man. That's embarrassing for him.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, if he's probably showing, if it's like her, it's kind of like, oh, wow, you're with a young gal, all that kind of thing. But no, he got compromised.
Clearly,
he got compromised. He's got something going on.
Clearly.
How old is this guy? There could be some people offended by the age gap. You know, think he's robbing the cradle, something like that.
I know Hagee's really ticked off at Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
It's hilarious,
and
though.
Reed.
I don't know what it is,
that
man.
The hard way.
You know that well.
Yeah.
I'm all in the comments trying to figure out what's going on. Somebody know this man?
Use some diesel.
Jeez. Yeah. Let's see. Let me keep it moving here on a ladies' night here. LA Live 105.3 The Fan. When I say the Pied Piper, what comes to your mind?
Honestly, R. Kelly.
Yeah!
Piper.
Good for you, man. I'm going to put a little sticker on your paper. I want you to take it to your parents. Tell them you had a good day of school.
You got a gold star today.
You got a star.
Put it on the fridge.
Yeah, he's locked up, but R. Kelly popped up on a podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Is this an old podcast or from the jail?
From the jail.
Wow.
Prison pods
from the jail. He's recording songs from the jail. And I've listened to them. They're slamming. they're slamming, bro. They're
Does slamming. He have a good mic and everything?
Yeah, it's jailish. It's jailish, but it's still good. It's jailish.
How's he getting the percussion going, or is he doing all the drums too?
I don't know how they're recording whole albums in jail.
He's sending the audio, and then somebody's producing it on the outside. Okay,
that's probably what it is.
I'm interested, man.
The podcast is called Inmate T with A and P.
Yeah,
Inmate T with A and P. They talk to prisoners, apparently. Yeah. Their pod description says getting inmate voices heard and driving for prison reform. So a couple of ladies talking to prisoners. I'm pretty sure the prisoners love them. Anyway, they got R. Kelly on the pod. That's a big get.
Yeah.
It's a big get. If your vibe is prisons and you got R. Kelly, like, who else could you get out here? There's a few people locked up that you might want to talk to. You know, be a big get in the inmate podcast world. But he jumped on. He says he has 25 albums that he had written since being locked up. And he sang to the ladies.
To accept this call, press 5. To block this call, you may begin speaking now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the king of R&B himself, a.k.a. Kells, a.k.a. the Pod Piper of R&B music. Give it up for R. Kelly.
Hey, could you look up the story of the Pod Piper, somebody, and tell me what the folklore is about that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hello, I was calling told to sing happy birthday to somebody. What's up?
How are you?
I'm great. You ready?
Oh, you gonna sing to us? Okay.
We are ready.
We're ready.
Okay.
Standing here looking in the mirror, saying damn to myself. I should have known a day would come, she would find somebody else. All the things I took her through, I shouldn't have lasted this long. Now I'm at this telephone booth, literally, calling Tyrone. When a woman said,
hey,
no matter how you dig, no, it ain't nothing you can do about
nothing
it.
Nothing you can do.
Okay. She couldn't help herself.
Couldn't help it.
The Pied Piper originates from the German folk legend of Pied Piper of Hamelin, who lured rats and then children away with his music.
Oh, wow.
Someone who has
a kidnapper.
Someone who has a cult-like influence over people.
Oh, wow. The children's.
What do you think the background
that's
is?
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's why he distanced himself from this, though.
Does he wear that nickname with pride?
The Pied Piper!
They say he distanced himself from it, though.
Yeah.
Because of the negative connotation.
He's locked up with it right now, apparently.
Wait, how would these two women just start a podcast about inmates?
Talking to people in jail. I mean, I'm pretty sure that podcasting bill's got to cost a lot.
Yeah. Like, I kind of think maybe this was a fetish of theirs.
Oh, yes. The women love prisoners.
And this was
not all women, but some women do.
And make money off of this.
What?
We'll make money off of it.
Go make. We should.
No, no, no. These women.
Oh yeah,
they're making capitalizing
hell of money off of it.
Good for them.
And meeting guys before like they hit back the streets.
Well, if you want to, we can.
No, no, I'm good.
No, you're good. Okay,
no, I'm good.
All right, we're in a.
What are gals that the prison shorties? Is that what we
mugshot?
Yeah. Mugshot shorties, right?
Yeah, the prison. No, the prison babe. Shotties.
Prison babe.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Boy, they've been dropping some fire ones lately. Oh my gosh. Fire. Like, girl, what you get locked up for?
This place is way too dangerous for you, honey. Let's get out
of here. Yeah, what are you doing? How much time we got, man? You get up. Nah, not enough time. Oh boy. I want to get this off so bad. I caught Fred from the Fan After Dark being frustrated at his co-host. Real life frustrations. Real life frustrations, but I don't think I got the time to get to it. Maybe tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's good tease.
Yeah, it's good tease. It's good. It's funny. It's real life.
Do it.
He got real life frustrated, brother.
Do it.
Nah, it's like, it's too long. It's a minute and 30.
Do it.
It's too long. Wait, okay, fine, whatever.
Do it.
Peer pressure.
All right, yeah. Well, Fred's been learning new slang, the Gen Z slang. And Fred is trying to explain the term kickback, what that means to his generation instead of, you know, what it means to Blake's generation. Okay. Kickback means, you know, to chill.
Okay.
You know, that type of thing. Having a little party, having a little kickback with the friends. Not too much.
Kickback. I was just going to say. Kickback.
Kickback. I just learned that term the other day thanks to Mr. Now that I did learn just the other day from Mr. Blake Elliott.
He said a kickback. He goes, so what's that?
Yeah, he said something about a kickback. I was like, what are you talking about? A kickback? Like, I know what a kick, like a kick. When I think of a kickback, I think of it being illegal. Like, hey, I'm going to grease the skids here, and you get a kickback because you helped facilitate a deal that, you know, you're going to get a kickback on. So a kickback being something that, you know.
Bribery.
Yep.
Okay.
So that, like, that's what a kickback to me. Like, hey, if Blake I lost. Get a, if it, let's say.
I'm still not even understanding.
So confused.
You're saying a repercussion?
Lost. No, a kickback. Like, hey, I'm going to help get this deal done, but I'm
Are you talking
get...
about drugs?
What are they dealing, Fred?
What?
Like, I'm confused. What do you mean deal
like,
done?
Like, we're talking like drugs? Well, work. I don't know that anybody gets kickbacks on a drug deal.
I don't even know what kickback means
a
in
kickback
this
means, hey, I'm going to facilitate a deal.
Can you give me an example?
Help, like,
so
all right,
are you like the middleman?
You're kind of a middleman, yeah. But like, all right, let's say like you're
buying fish. I'm buying fish from you.
No, just let me use the example. Like, all right, like, let's say, hey, I'm going to steer you to do work here in for 105 through the fan, okay? But I'm referring you to do work with, like, say, our sales department, okay? What? Why are you making that face? Like, what's so hard about what I'm saying here?
When you said the word steer, all I thought of was cattle.
I mean, I swear to God, I didn't know I was working with frickin' Dumb and Dumber over here. Yeah. My God. Typical, just English language, bro. English language.
Yeah. The moment you said steer, my mind went to the Texas Longhorns and cattle. Because I said fish. My mind, I'm thinking about animals. Can you give a better example that doesn't
I'm
stay?
Sorry, me using regular words. Okay,
someone said kickback equals rebate.
Yeah. That's one way of looking. When I think of a kickback, I'm thinking you've done something to get money ill-gotten. Where you're not supposed to. Like, hey, I'm going to hook you up with the sales department.
Don't ask
but
questions.
But for doing that, I'm going to need a little something back for it.
Oh.
Hence a kickback.
So you're like Chris Paul. You're a facilitator.
You're it's an IOU. It's a, hey, you. Yeah. You
it's not an IOU.
Oh, man. Fred, he's in it.
Say, when you said steer, I started thinking about cows.
Obviously,
so I was talking about fish, and so of course I would go to steers and longhorns.
Of course.
Man, Blake had him perfect right there. That was outstanding.
Oh, man, that was.
Yeah, that's wild. All right.
There are legal kickbacks, though.
Yeah, 100%
was off. Yeah.
Sequel.
Just a little.
Yeah, secret. And,
well, you said steers, though, man. I was thinking about cows. Can you explain it again? I won't think about their steer word anymore.
Sorry, I was thinking of.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
Sorry, bro. All right, man. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, and creek don't rise. That's my time. I holla, peace.
Thank you, Lucius. LA Live every night, 5:40 here in the nation. What you going to do next, Woolchuck?
All right, let's go around the bases. The MLB Top 100, new ballpark grub, and a way too early trade deadline move that if all things are going wrong, the Rangers should get this guy. That's next.